This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a brisket?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Good afternoon and welcome down the Tee Florida. Two pros and a hack in the humor squad on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com and our new streaming channel, FloridaSportsStream.com, on this August 10th. On the Tee Florida is brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, Sea Dogs Brewery, and our newest client is Michelob Ultra. I want to thank Chris Lewis and, of course, Great Bay, and, of course, all things golf, Michelob Ultra. We'll be talking a lot about that partnership in the coming weeks and months, and we're going to continue that all the way through the Ryder Cup, so I'm proud of that. Of course, I'm Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, as we tee it up. John Rieger up on the beach hanging out. He's going to be on here in just a second. And then, of course, we'll have a rotating group of people coming in. We've got the caddy, the Scottish caddy. He'll be up a little bit later on. Crossed the street today at 6:40. We've got the St. Louis Cardinals and the Tampa Bay Rays and the rubber match. The Rays went down last night 6-4, and they won the opener. So tonight's the rubber match. And without further ado, let's bring John Rieger into the conversation. Bill Buttner will be chiming in a little bit later on. The other pros, two pros and a hack. These guys carry me each and every week. Our rotating group of celebrities will be coming. Gary McNally's on the way. Tom Gribben is in Denver, Colorado. And Patty Suzette, the cart girl, she's also traveling. So it's that time of the year. Lots of travel. We don't have the entire entertainment team. It's like the old days. The hack and the pro, John Rieger.
Hey, I'm just proud to be here today and really look forward to our broadcast. It's a little toasty on the beach today. It's hot, 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 hot. I know we're in the middle of a heat wave and everything. We'll talk about the weather a little bit later when we do the Wild Bill Golf Weather Report. But yes, it's a beautiful day up here in St. Augustine Beach, getting a little bit of a semi-cool breeze off the ocean right now. And let's talk some golf.
Let's talk some golf. A lot going on. In fact, it's the FedEx Cup Series, and I can't wait for our man Kerry to get here, because last week, a guy that he shared his bed with, as he likes to put it, when he lived over in, I think it was the La Jolla area, Lucas Glover got it, the first win in many, many years, and he's doing well today at the FedEx as well.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, this is the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, and they reduced it to three tournaments. In the past, it used to be four tournaments. You had 125 players that would qualify, then they go down to the low 70, but they changed it to the low 70 and only have three tournaments in the FedEx Cup playoffs. And interesting enough, it did provide a lot of drama for the last tournament of the year last week, where Justin Thomas literally went down to the last hole and had a lip-out chip in. It didn't go in. And he just missed. He finished 71st on the money list. He'll be sitting home watching the playoffs. He'll be getting ready for the second season when they start up again in October.
Well, and Adam Scott, I felt for Adam. He's advanced many, many years, and not as much as Matt Kuchar, who has the record since 2007, has never missed a FedEx Series, but Adam Scott finished 72nd on the outside looking in as well.
Yeah, so it's and they're tearing it up in Memphis. It is a delayed event from this morning, so we get a little extra evening bonus coverage of the tournament. They really couldn't tee off today until about 10:15, but hey, Jordan Spieth was on top of the leaderboard for a little while, and Rory McIlroy was tended up, so big names are coming forward, and a lot at stake. Now, Rory and John Rahm just got named to the Ryder Cup team for the Europeans, and obviously Scotty Scheffler and Wyndham Clark got awarded a place on the team for the Americans here. So there still is, though, like with Jordan, wanting to play well right into the Ryder Cup season, so looks like he's rested and ready to go.
Well, it's great to see Jordan Spieth, though. I think he finished about 32nd this year, but I'd like to see him on top of the leaderboard. I guess we can talk about this later on. Kerry McNally kind enough to join us and raise the bar on the production. But the beauty of having someone like Jordan Spieth play well, Justin Thomas on the outside looking in, Zach Johnson's got some tough decisions coming up for this Ryder Cup team.
Well, yeah, and interesting enough, with Bryson DeChambeau last week in the LIV Golf Tournament shooting a record-breaking 58, he is playing very, very well. He has played very well in the majors, not as well as Brooks Koepka, who's got to be a lock for the team. You know, I think Bryson could be a captain's pick, too. It's interesting to see what it's going to be. Is it going to be the good old boys club, or are you going to try to put pick your six best out of the six that made it? Or, yeah, the six choices you have, you're going to go ahead and do that, or are you just going to go ahead and stick with the good old boys club of the PGA Tour?
Hey, I got to interrupt this conversation a little bit. I was going to talk a little bit about that 58 by Bryson DeChambeau. But when you got royalty in the house, he is a famous man these days. Kerry McNally, I opened up by talking about you had shared a bed with a guy that had a lot of success last week. Or shared your bed with Lucas Glover. Oh, you might be nice if I let you talk there.
There, the mic's on now. All right,
that's good. Mic on the mic.
Yeah. So, the people that know this story, I've told it a couple of times, but back when the PGA Tour was at the it was the PGA Championship at Hazeltine. I'm trying to remember. I think it was 2000. No, he won. He won the Open in 2009, but then he finished about, I think, third in the PGA Championship back in 2007. And so what had happened was I was living in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, which is where Hazeltine is. Actually, technically, it's in Chaska, Minnesota.
You lived up there?
I lived up there. I lived up there. I had a town home in Eden Prairie and lived there for a long time. I worked for Shop NBC and then eventually CBS at the big flagship station, WCCO-TV, for a couple of years. Anyway, so I was hanging around and somebody said something like, hey, do you want to offer your house up to one of the guys on the PGA Tour? And I was like, well, what do you think that they spend on that stuff? And they said, well, it's anywhere between $3,000 and like $10,000 for the week. But $10,000, you know, those are the elite players and they're going to want, you know, a 5-bedroom with a big pool and all of that stuff. So I had a townhome. And so I said, what do you do? And you come, I said, they said, you clean up the place. They come over, they take a picture of the kitchen and the living room and the bedrooms and all that stuff. And they put them together in a digital catalog. And then typically their manager or their wives, they pick that place and then they send you a check in advance. And you vacate on Monday.
Would you go stay at the Motel 6?
No. It was really cool because I love this. I love talking about this because it brings me down memory lane. I had a boat on Lake Minnetonka.
Folks
know that Lake Minnetonka is one of the most beautiful freshwater lakes.
Lord Fletcher's. On Lake Minnetonka.
Oh, absolutely. So
got in a lot of trouble there, my man.
Oh, yeah.
And so did some Minnesota Vikings back in the 90s.
Exactly. So, the little booze cruise. I remember that one.
Yeah, it was a little more than booze, my man.
Yeah. So anyway, so what I did was there was a tiny little cabin on this little place called Big Island, which is Big Island is right in the middle of the lake. And you can only get to it if you have a boat. You can't. There's no ferry. There's no taxi. There's no nothing. So it was cheap. It was like $1.50 a night. And it had 3 beds in it for my best friend from high school.
Lord Fletcher's.
Right. And my brother. And I flew my brother and my best friend up. And so, yeah, so what we did was we would get up in the morning and we'd get on the boat and we would go to go to the dock, tie the boat up, get in the car, and we'd go to the PGA Championship. And this was the year, John, you probably remember this. This was the year it was Y.E. Yang took down Tiger from behind. Tiger was leading the whole week, and Y.E. Yang came back and won it. And it was the first time Tiger had ever lost to somebody that was behind him in the field. And the beauty was, I was very fastidious about the state of my place before I left. I had very specific instructions about, you know, the remote control, all that stuff. I left them a really good bottle of wine and with a nice note. And so there was some weather coming in on Sunday, and it looked like it might be a complete rainout on Sunday. And so Saturday night, we're partying at Lord Fletcher's, and I get this phone call, and it's from Lucas Glover's wife. And she says, what are we going to do if we get rained out on Sunday? Will we have to get a hotel? And I said, no, I prepared for this. You guys can have the place for another night on me. No charge. Don't worry about it. I'm staying in a little cabin on the lake.
And I may not make it home from Lord Fletcher's.
Right. And she was she was so excited and so appreciative. Sure enough, he ended up in third with a big check, $750,000 or something like that. And when I got back to the house, there was he had left his Nike shirt that he had worn on Saturday, his hat from Saturday. He had signed both of them. He left me two bottles of better wine than I had left him.
He didn't like that Boone's Farm?
No, he didn't. He didn't like the Night Train. I left him some Night Train. It was in
Mad Dog 2020.
Mad Dog 2020.
That's a fine wine in the Midwest.
I'll give a plug. It was Stag's Leap. For those of you ladies out there and gentlemen out there that appreciate nice wine, that's a really good solid bottle of wine that usually costs you about $100 in a restaurant. And he left me two of those, along with a lot of really cool swag and a very nice handwritten note, which I've kept to this day. And the funny thing about it was when I talked to her Saturday night, she said, we didn't realize we were staying in the home of a celebrity. And I was like, get out of here. That's ridiculous. She said, because she had seen me on the morning show on CBS Channel 4, WCCO, that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before I took Thursday and Friday off.
How did you work that? Were you single then?
Oh, yeah.
I bet you worked that gig. Can you imagine him, John, back in the day? And for you Floridians, Lord Fletcher's was, let's just to say, it was...
It's a lovely restaurant. You go...
The bar, it is.
The
bar is a blast.
Yeah, my trip was I would get... On the water. I would schedule people to take them to brunch, and I would pick them up and over by Beans Marina right there in Minnetonka, and then drive, we'd putt over there. In the boat, because it was a 32-foot 1976 mint condition Sea Ray Weekender.
He just put.
And we go over there, and we just had a grand old time. But I have the utmost respect for Lucas Glover. I think he's wildly underrated.
What a wonderful family man! Did you see him at the end after he won last week?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Some of that mojo is carrying over. He shot a sizzling 66 today, my friend.
Yep.
And he's tied for six right now, John.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's funny because we're talking about Lucas Glover. You know, we're avid golfers, and obviously we follow the PGA Tour pretty closely. But for our listeners out there, just a quick primer on him. He's best known for his win in the 2009 U.S. Open.
Right.
And it was really great to see him this year because I remember back when the Open qualifying was going on, they had the golf's longest day on the Monday. Where it was the final qualifying for the U.S. Open. They called the sectional championships. And Golf Channel did a really great job of covering, like, all these sectional qualifiers all over, where if you qualify, you're into the U.S. Open. And I remember watching it late one night, and he was, like, one of the last people to finish the qualifiers. He's in his playoff. He missed a two-foot putt, and it knocked him out of the playoff, and his putting was so horrible. And within the last month or so, he's picked up a new putter and a new stroke. And look at that. He went ahead and won. But, you know, he's won 8 PGA Tour events. And if we take a look at his major championship records, his best finish in the Masters was a tie for 20th in 2020. He did finish 5th in the PGA Championship in 2009, the same year that he won the U.S. Open. And obviously won the U.S. Open 2009, the Open Championship, which we call here at On the Tee Florida, the British Open. He finished tied for 12th. So, you know, he had quite a storied career. 5 PGA Tour wins, 1 European Tour win, a Korn Ferry win, and a couple, 2 others. So that's Lucas Glover, all-around great guy. It's great to see his kids there last week. Great to see him win. And it's funny how past crossed in the game of golf, and what a great story, Kerry, about the hospitality you provided a former U.S. Open champion.
Yeah, it was really special. I thought it was a joke when somebody first asked me. And then I thought, you know, okay, there's going to be 150-some-odd guys teeing it up. Even if you get one, who are you going to get, right? And then I got a guy who was a class act who came in third. I look back on that as one of the highlights of my love affair with this incredible game of golf.
You're listening to On the Tee Florida. We're live from Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse.
Darn right we are live.
Yeah, yeah.
It's out of control up in here.
It's a little outrageous because we got Cardinals in the house. St. Louis Cardinals and Tampa Bay Rays. They first pitch 6:40 across the street at the Trop. In fact, it's the rubber match, and we've also got we got people playing on the golf simulator as well, my friend.
Oh, my gosh. Gentlemen out there, if you can hear, if you're within the sound of my voice, there's a lot of very, very attractive, very very fit women up here hitting the golf ball a long way on this full swing.
Good Midwestern girls. I met them. They're from St. Louis.
Simulator here, and this is that special. I call this the loft, actually. This is the golf loft here, high atop.
Well, you're real late on the name.
Sports.
We went with the 19. I have the loft up there.
Oh, that's right. Your office.
I'm in the loft, and it is hot as hell loft right now. I can assure you.
Hey, while we're talking about those golf simulators, just want to let everybody know that now you can go online and book a reservation. Even if you're inside the restaurant, you can go right online and book a reservation, either scan a QR code, or there's a website they have called FergsFullSwing.com. You'll be able to go to our website tonight, and actually the barcode will be up there if you want to visit us, or if you go to FergsFullSwing.com, that's Ferg's website, or you can just go to the Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill website, and all that information's up there. We're in operation. We're in business, baby. You can now reserve and reserve your spot on the simulators.
Hey,
have
John.
Fun. Bring your family. Bring everybody.
As we speak, a gentleman came up and just bought some time, and he went online. We pulled the credit card, and he's getting ready. And he's a lefty. He's a softball. And he's getting ready to do one.
Oh, he can swing it, too. The guy's got game. He's got game.
We're talking about you all over the world. He looks like
he could be like Johnson's brother, a little bit.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson's brother. Look at this guy.
I don't. You got any game?
Lefty. He's got a great left hand swing. I mean, this guy's got. Yeah, he's got a good move to the ball. I like it.
All right, my man.
Nice.
So what have you been up to since we haven't had you?
Okay, so a lot of exciting stuff going on. I've been asked to be a part of the team that runs the extraordinary private Feather Sound Country Club. We talked about this a little bit last week. John and I were on the phone yesterday talking about this subject. It is a phenomenal golf course that a gentleman purchased in 2014, and he's put millions of dollars into the course. He brought in a great superintendent. They have a gentleman by the name of John Renault, who is the golf director there, who is fantastic. And if you want to play a world-class golf course that is right in the middle of Tampa Bay, because I don't think there is a more centrally located golf course, let alone a private exclusive country club, than Feather Sound. And we have three membership tiers. There's a golf membership, there's a tennis membership, and now we have a social / corporate membership. So if you're looking for a corporate membership where you can play golf a couple of times a year, but you really want access to that gorgeous clubhouse, you want to be able to dine, lunch, or dinner at the restaurant. It's called the Sound Bar. Look us up at www.fscc.com and look for that social corporate membership. That way you can go over there, you can entertain guests. We've got a couple of meeting rooms, people have their weddings there. It's a phenomenal track. We also have 9 hard true clay tennis courts as well, and we're talking about maybe taking 2 of this of the 9 tennis courts and turning them into maybe 2 pickleball courts.
Hey, while we're on pickleball, I'm just going to do a little tease of what I'm going to be doing here in the very near future, John Rager. I think your paths have crossed before with Billy McGee. He is King Pickle. Billy McGee is
He's King Pickle?
Yeah, he's a tennis pro out of – you'll love him. He's a tennis pro out of Fort Myers.
Okay.
But he jumped on the pickleball wagon, about 2019.
He jumped on the pickle wagon?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, he's got more liners.
Too easy.
He's got more one-liners than you do.
Mike, it's too easy.
Billy King Pickle McGee.
McGee.
He used to be the president of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Of course he was.
He was the president of the Tampa Bay Storm.
Wow.
And now he's a promoter.
Okay.
So in 9/11, we had a pickleball marathon out here with NFL greats.
Okay.
And I was on the air for 6 hours streaming live.
Wow.
Well, on the 8th of September, I'll be flying up to New York City in front of the set where they do Fox and Friends.
Okay.
They're setting up a pickleball
court. Okay.
A lot of the first responders, the policemen, the EMTs that were there that day are going to play pickleball. I'll be interviewing those people as we stream live across the world. And then Billy and some of the key people will be on Fox and
Billy Fair. The King Pickle.
Billy the King Pickle. That's right.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Right there on Fifth Avenue.
Right there.
Or Sixth Avenue. Yeah, yeah.
So I'll really be fumbling, stumbling, and bumbling. But all I've been doing is interviewing people.
You're fantastic.
So, John Rager, I may have to fly you up there to give me an assist, brother.
Well, you know, pickleball's taken over the world. I'm on a board of a nonprofit, a pickleball foundation, actually. They're building a $20 million pickleball pavilion up near the Villages up in Central Florida. And so I've had to learn a lot about pickleball. In fact, I've done all their social media now. It's called Pinnacle.org is the name of their company. And I'm always looking for material for our social media. And this is it right here. You're going to be just famous out there. You're going to go virtual. You know, up there at Fox and Friends, up in New York City, doing pickleball with Billy McGee. I tell you what, you know, I like pickleball better than tennis. Because in tennis, you just can't take a cart. You can't take a golf cart in tennis. You have to, like, run around and stuff. And pickleball's a little bit better. Yeah, I like pickleball better than tennis.
Mike, I think you should go for it. Like, Rieger and I, we're marketing guys, right? We're not just golf guys.
You're great marketing guys.
I think you need a full pickle suit.
That's for the king. He's six foot five.
But he has to play.
He played tennis at LSU.
He has to play. You're the color commentator. You should.
You should be the big dill, dude. Yeah.
We need to do headwear. Like, you need to be a picklehead, like a cheese head. Picklehead.
There you go. Okay, that's a compromise. He's talking about a pickle hat. Like a cheese head.
Not happening, fellas. You guys are fired from this marketing project. Yeah. I am.
And I haven't had anything to drink yet. This is exciting.
I know. We got a tagline for this. Tagline, dill, just not for hamburgers anymore.
All right. At my expense, what do we got here? Oh, we've got our main man. Have you met the Scotsman yet?
The Scotsman. He's a legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
the legend of the Moors.
He's kind enough to join us right now. He is the...
Let me get you some slack here there, Scotsman.
Oh, last time John Rager was here, he made an appearance too.
Yeah.
Say hi to our Scotty Caddy there, John Rager.
Oh, hi, Alan. How you doing, man? I tell you what, kind of interesting to get your take on the AIG Women's Open Championship. I know it's in just outside the outskirts of London, but next year it's going to be at St. Andrews, Scotland. So I know you probably aren't a huge follower of women's golf since you've jumped across the pond and you live here full time, but let's hear some wit and wisdom from you today.
Well, I'll tell you right now, Lottie, it's a great thing that we got going on doing here and at Ferg's. And as you said there, it's just around across the pond a wee bit. And I love following women. I don't care what you say. I'm not that guy down here on the end, Mike Rieger.
Well, we got plenty of ladies up here, Mac, if you look around here. But most of them are Cardinal fans. What a day down here across from Ferg's, across from Tropicana Field. We got the Rays and of course, the... Cardinals with a 640 first pitch. Place is jammed.
Yeah, well, that's what Cardinals want to do. They want to be up in the tree somewhere. That's where they want to be.
I got to watch every statement I make.
Swooping down. Meanwhile, we're swimming. You know, just swimming just a few feet.
Great sports analogy.
Just below the surface, the Rays.
How do I mute his mic from here? Oh, he is too.
Okay.
So you have any wisdom for us today?
Yes.
Well, I do. I have the golf tip of the week. As I'm supposed to. I missed last week because I was in a place called Nashville.
How did you like it? I'm sure you had plenty of Scotch whiskey on Broadway.
I did. It was, and I went to where they make this guy named Jack Daniels. I went to his hoop and had some drinks there too.
How did it compare to your Scotch whiskey?
Well, that's not the same. I have to be. All right, now, you ready for the golf tip of the week?
We're waiting with bated breath.
And now, live from Ferg's, it's the golf tip of the week.
All right, just remember, An extra ball in your pocket is worth two strokes in the bush. You can't go wrong there.
No, you certainly can't. Okie dokie. Well, we probably had the FCC just kick us off the airways, but we're talking golf, right, fellas?
Just talking about golf.
Well, I guess if you step on the rake with that, you're really going to hurt.
Exactly. The whack, right?
Okay,
right
before it. Okie dokie, fellas. Let's get off this topic real quick.
All right, let's do it.
So how are things downstairs there, Mac?
Oh, it's really busy doing that. I'm telling you, it's getting jam packed, and it's the place to be. But I'll tell you right now, you have the hidden gem secret up here. These professional golf simulators and air conditioning.
Yeah, exactly.
And lovely ladies playing foosball right next to us.
A lot of foosball going.
St. Louis girls.
They're foosball hustlers.
Cardinals in the house. See, I always respect the Midwesterners.
Yeah.
People get tired of me talking about Iowa, but this is Missouri.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can't stand the Cardinals. I worked for the Cubs back in the 90s. I already let them all know it. That's why they're making so damn much noise right now.
Well, that's all.
You had a real job, did you?
No. I did. I actually worked for somebody at one point. Yeah.
For the most part, though, I would imagine they all still live here. So we love them. They're neighbors, right? Unless they've commuted to come and see this
St. Louis
baseball
Cardinals
game. I don't know about that, but
training facilities were down here for decades. If you go right out front here at Ferg's on the street, there's a momentum that tells the year that they started here.
Okay.
And then the years they left. And of course, they were owned by the Budweiser empire.
Sure.
The Bush family. In fact, Senior had a place right down on St. Pete Beach that our Tom Gribben used to play live shows for Augie Bush, the old man. You probably did the sound. Oh, that was years ago. I was going to say, Mac probably did the sound for that party.
That's when we had the turntable and you had to crank it.
Well, that's how it was when I was in the Marine Corps with Forest Network. Yeah, we had turntables. Turntables and...
The good old days.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we better take our first break. We'll come back. We'll continue this conversation that's gone everywhere but the world of golf.
Yes, we'll try to make our way back into the fairway.
I'll do that leaderboard, and then, of course, we've got the champions at Boeing Championship tomorrow in Seattle, so we will come back and talk a little bit about that. We'll be back on the Tee Florida, live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, now brought to you by Michelob Ultra and our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Tampa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season. The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice Pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to On the Tee Florida. Well, we have, I've lost the talent on the show. He's over here schmoozing the whip. He's the married man, ladies. Married man over there. He's got the attention span of a gnat. He's got an attention span of a gnat. That's Gary McNally, John Rager. Thank God you're there and you're sound.
Hey,
solid.
I tell you what, hey, Mike, I want to make a statement here. Table. I got to make a statement.
Go ahead. Go for it, John.
If you're driving down the road right now and you're listening to this radio show, and you know it's a golf show, you know why it's so wild and woolly and fun? Because we are actually broadcasting from our Ice Pick studios. So this is the On the Tee Florida Ice Pick studios at Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse, which is a sports bar. So you never know what you're going to get with the Rays right across the street and all the different fans that literally come in from all over the country to play the Rays. If it sounds rowdy back there, if we're having too good of a time, just so you know, this is not just a golf show. It's a golf party. So I just want to preface that. So don't turn your dial off. Stay with us, and let's have some fun.
Yeah, thank you, John, for the clarification. Yeah, we are in the midst of a party right now here.
And the beauty of it, that's why Ice Pick Vodka wanted to get involved with us.
Yeah.
And I just got Michelob Ultra closed today. They want to be a big part. If you look around here, they're obviously a big part of everything. But
so what do you call a drink like that? If you take a shot of Ice Pick and you throw it in a beer, is that a Boilermaker?
No, I think that's got to be a scotch. No, isn't a Boilermaker one the way you take the scotch and you drop it into
you take scotch, whiskey, whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you drop the shot glass right in the beer. We're gonna have to. You know, where's our celebrity cart girl Patty Suzette here? We need her to come up with the Ice Pick version of the Boilermaker.
Hey, a little update on last week when I was not up to doing the show. Unfortunately, Patty, the car girl, was not contacted by our man, Tom Gribben. It probably should have been my responsibility, but I wasn't thinking straight. She came down there by herself, called me, got her a couple cocktails. She had some fun at the bar, but
she's a great gal. She's a fine artist, a brilliant, brilliant marketeer.
Look at that piece she did put on the wall.
It's fantastic. That is absolutely gorgeous.
Would you call that Jackson Pollock?
Yeah, it's got a little Jackson Pollock going
for it. Yeah, don't Jackson Pollock.
It's my approach to life.
Just throw stuff on. Stuff at the wall.
Just throw stuff at the wall.
I thought that was
going to stick.
John Rager is the organized one of our partnership.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's the.
Hey, you know what? Since we're organized, let's talk about the Ice Pick leaderboard right now. So,
let's do it.
Mike, you want to take it away, or do you want me to jump in there about the FedEx Cup here going on?
I'm pulling it up right now.
Well, I got it right here. I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of the leaders of the FedEx St. Jude Championship. It's up at Memphis at PPC Southwinds up there. What a incredible golf course. I had the pleasure, it's been 2 years ago. I went to the President's Cup there, and I can tell you what a magnificent place it is. And to tell you that Jordan Spieth right now is -7. He is leading the pack. Followed by young Tom Kim. I think young Tom, he's not old enough to rent a car, but I think he's old enough to drink right now, and he's at -6. Emilio Grillo at -5. Colin Morikawa, the Open champion of a couple of years ago, at -5. Cam is leading at -5, but not Cam Smith, the other Cam Davis.
Cam Davis.
But here's somebody, and our man Lucas Glover is at -4. And so we've talked about Lucas, but I want to talk about Eric Cole right now. Who's tied with Lucas Glover at -4. This is an incredible story. Eric Cole is the son of the famous South African golfer Bobby Cole, who played on the tour probably late 60s, early 70s, maybe into the early 80s. And Bobby was married to Laura Baugh. Laura Baugh, in the early 70s, was the LPGA's most glamorous golfer, wonderful golfer. I mean, she was everywhere on TV commercials and magazines and this, that, and the other. Wonderful gal. She ended up having 7 children. Well, this is one of them. And Eric turned pro 14 years ago. He's a rookie on the PGA Tour at age 35, and he has played his way into the FedEx Cup Championship. It's unbelievable. Right now he's positioned at 40th. He's only 5'9", 155 pounds, so he's not a big-time golfer, but he's got a lot of heart. And so if you want to pick somebody in your fantasy golf pool, if you want to follow somebody, follow Eric Cole this weekend. I think you're going to be surprised. He might be the Cinderella story of the FedEx Cup championships this year.
Well, a superb story, Kerry. And if you're looking for other notables, these guys are all notables if you follow the great game of golf. But number 2 in the world, number 3 in the world, Rory McIlroy, he's tied for 6th as well. And sitting back. They're just three back off the pace. So this is going to be an exciting weekend, John.
Well, you know, I always, I always tell everybody my PGA Tour career lasted about 8 to 9 hours because I played 36 holes in one PGA Tour event and missed the cut. So I'm always looking at the bottom of the leaderboard for, you know, not the top of it, just to see who's at the bottom. My goodness, with all this great scoring out there, John Rahm is at the bottom of the leaderboard. He's tied for 61st at +2. That's shocking to me. Look for a big weekend for him coming back, looking for some lower scores. And then the Open champion, Brian Harman, tied for 56 at +1. So there's some really big names down the board. Now, everybody's rooting for Ricky Fowler. He's at even par. So anybody even par today and on up, okay, they're just placeholding it right now. But you're going to have to do moving day early. Moving day is not Saturday now. It's going to have to be Friday. And people are going to have to giddy it up there to contend for that. So because what happens is they start cutting it down to the next, I think it's the low 50 the next time for the next tournament coming up, which is the BMW tournament.
The BMW. Scotty Scheffler, if anybody's wondering where the world's number two is sitting, he's a 3-under. But if you remember the way that John Rahm started out, I think at one time he was 87th in the Open and then came back to finish second with an incredible, was it, he shot a 62 or 63, I think, on Saturday. But he came back with a remarkable comeback. So even at that
point. Well, you know, Mike and Kerry, you know what I do every week? I always like to watch the press conferences. You know, I know that's kind of a nerdy thing to do, but hey, being a retired guy living on the beach, you know, you got time to kind of watch some of these things. The press conferences are fascinating. So John Rahm actually set the world of golf ablaze this week because he is a good guy and he's very frank about, you know, what he thinks the PGA Tour ought to do. And he said the following, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but can you get a freaking porta potty for the players on every hole? He says, you know, when you got to go, you got to go. And everybody laughed at that, but he said if LIV Golf did it, we'd do it tomorrow probably. And that's what I'm paraphrasing that, but John Rahm was quote of the week. Can you get a freaking porta party on every hole?
Every hole.
On the PGA Tour, please. Thank you.
I love that. Hey, speaking of, well, we better be gender equity thoughtful here. The LPGA Open in England, we didn't go over that leaderboard. On top of that is an American, Allie Ewing at 4-under. I'm not familiar with Allie, and I've been watching a lot of the LPGA. I mean, they had a major last week at the Evian, and then got this, their fifth major. Nellie Korda from Bradenton, she sits at 1-over, but I'm not familiar with Allie Ewing. I think I'm going to have what he is.
Well, I'll give you a rundown on Allie. I just give you a quick rundown on her. So, obviously, you know, she's an American, plays on the LPGA Tour. She's 5'6". She lives in Mississippi because she went to school at Mississippi State. And she's played on the LPGA Tour with 3 professional wins. And so if you take a look at her major championships, and not only she's won 3 times in the LPGA Tour, but the women's golf, they have 5 major championships. You know, I think the Champions Tour has the same thing. Men's golf only has 4. Some are trying to get the Players' Championship to be the fifth. But her best finish in a major has been tied for 6th at the Chevron Championship. And for our listeners out there, sometimes you get muddled in the corporate sphere of what they're naming. That used to be the Dinah Shore Nabisco Classic. That was the first women's major that used to be played in Palm Springs, and they moved it to Houston this year, but they called the Chevron Championship. So her best finish in a major is tied for 6th, but if you look at the women's Open, the Women's British Open, 2017, she finished tied for 16th. So I think that she might be able to hold on to this lead. I think she's looked for her on Sunday to be contending because she's got some experience, especially in the Women's British Open.
Yeah, and it looks like she's got 3 wins. She's won $3.7 million. She's closed. She's a closer. She's a closer, Mike. A closer.
Well, I'm trying to play bartender and bar manager at the same time. That shelf leans towards. We've got the girls from St. Louis are getting out of control.
I know they're playing the foosball and they're happy about it. They're excited. There's a lot of pregame going on here, John. A lot of pregaming. It's not like you
were
having a beer.
Well, you know, when you're about an hour away from the first pitch, I can tell you that this is where the BAL levels are up there right now.
That's great. Absolutely. But I'll tell you what, I've never been more proud of Major League Baseball and what they did. They should have done a long time ago. The games move so much faster now. They're so much more exciting. And the Rays are still in it. I mean, the Orioles are amazing, but the Rays are in it right there. And it's nice to see a lot of these people. I just spoke with them when I was coming back from the bathroom. They're from St. Louis. They came here to hang out in our town. They bought tickets to the game, and they're in all their regalia, and they're in uniform. It's pretty cool, and I think it bodes well for this fine city of St. Pete and the Tampa Bay area.
You know, what it actually does,
and I can tell you a story, you know, and there's something that people in Tampa Bay need to understand, and this is a story I learned from my dad. You know, my dad was an all-pro linebacker in the NFL, and, considerable fame with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Washington Redskins. And we moved to Tampa Bay, and then the Bucs were formed, not shortly thereafter. And my dad says, "We're Bucs fans now." And I go, "What do you mean, Dad? I thought we root for the Steelers all the time." "No, we're Bucs fans." The same thing with baseball. When the Rays came about, he said, "Hey, listen, we're Rays fans now. We're not Pirates fans. We're Rays fans." So a lot of times in the Tampa Bay area, fans, residents, we're all guilty of maybe rooting for wherever we came from or wherever we grew up at. But you live in Tampa Bay, you're a Rays fan, I'm a Rays fan. Let's support the team. Let's come out. And the beauty of it is that with our broadcast being right across the street from the Trop, you can enjoy some ice-picked vodka and just trot across the street and go to the game and have a good time.
Well, like these gentlemen doing, they bought some time on our simulator, the upper course, and they're playing an hour before the first pitch, and that's the beauty now. Before the football season, Monday night, we're going to have our league, of course, brought to you by Michelob Ultra and our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka. Tie that in, John, with some unique formulas that you're putting together from a football perspective. We'll have long drive, putting contests. Monday Night Football down here will be a golf extravaganza along with Monday Night Football. And what's better on a Monday night Kerry McNally?
Oh, man, and they moved it up, too, a little bit. I remember they used to start at, like, 9 o'clock at night, and you wouldn't be able to go to bed until 1. You could never finish the game. They moved it up to, what, 8 o'clock now, at least 7:30, 8 o'clock now on ESPN?
The problem is if you live on the West Coast, you're in drive time traffic when kickoff.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know, I spent a lot of time on the West Coast. I can tell you, people adjust their personal schedules accordingly, because a lot of times the way business works here, and if you're tied into a company that's got the East Coast basis, everybody adjusts accordingly. It's really interesting. I know on the West Coast when your NFL game comes on like 10 o'clock in the morning. So they party accordingly out there on the West Coast. And so I know that St. Louis Cardinals, I guess, what time zone are they in? Central? Are they Central time
Central,
over there
baby.
In Missouri?
Two hours from God's country, Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry, though. I forgot they don't have an NFL team there, do they? St. Louis? No. They don't, right?
Guess what Iowa sent St. Louis? We sent Kurt Warner to St. Louis from the great state of Iowa. And that was the biggest present that city had ever gotten from our state. By the way,
I got a bunch of friends from Cedar Falls and the University of Northern Iowa. So yeah, that story is remarkable about Kurt Warner. It's all true. It's really fascinating. What a great human being.
I knew him.
It's a great movie too.
One of those guys. I knew him when. I know when he played in arena football for the Barnstormers. I did the game day for him.
Yeah, and the guy that played him, the actor that played him, is also the guy who played Shazam.
Exactly.
In a big, box office popcorn movie.
Yeah, I will tell you, though, you know, watching it as an Iowan, there were some hokey things. Okay, they played in a place called Vets Auditorium, The Barn.
Right.
And it got that name, you know, and we were one of the powerhouses in arena football. And that's when arena football was the real deal. But in the movie, they showed cows in hay. Like these guys were practicing in a cornfield. That was so freaking corny. There were a lot of things.
Oh, it was corny?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't give
me. Oh, my goodness.
I'm tired of you giving up me all this beef.
Beef. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. You're two for two. You're on fire right now.
I'm getting there. I'm excited for you.
It's rubbing off on me.
Yeah. Something is.
I'd get the hook right now if I was on a stage.
Something is.
Please, folks, do not turn off the show because we've got two talented guys.
John, we're going to do some live billboards, some live reads here. We got copy here for the Ice Pick Vodka. What's
that? Yeah, we got copy for Michelob Ultra, Superior Light Beer, and proud sponsor of all things golf at Ferg's 19th hole clubhouse on the tee, Florida. It's only worth if you enjoy it. Ice Pick Vodka, be sure to grab a Champa Bay or any Ice Pick cocktail locally distilled in Florida.
Nailed hey, you it. Know, while we're on the leaderboard, gentlemen, let's talk about some LIV Golf. LIV Golf is getting ready to tee it up tomorrow. Here we go. Trump National Golf Club, Bedminster. In fact, the former president was out there in the Pro-Am teeing it off this morning. So it looks like it's going to be a great tournament at Bedminster. Just like our listeners know, that LIV Golf is different than the PGA Tour and the other tours. They do shotgun. So tomorrow's shotgun is at 1:15. It's going to be really interesting to see how Bryson DeChambeau does, because when you have such a spectacular performance, I mean, he shot 61-58 over the weekend, which is a 119 total, which is phenomenal. You think he's going to be able to keep the momentum or not? So you can watch this on the CW app, LIV Golf, for everybody that if that's their cup of tea. Enjoy it tomorrow, and we'll see what happens.
Hey, John, I want to ask you about DeChambeau, because when he came out, it was really exciting for me because I really never knew how to play golf until I was in my 40s. And I went to a big golf clinic, and as a three sport athlete growing up, tennis, soccer and baseball and basketball, I didn't really know what I was doing until I finally went to a 4-day clinic. You know the story. And I shot 77 like 2 weeks later at Falcons Fire in Orlando from the tips. But what I found fascinating was the science behind this notion of having all of the clubs the same length. And I've been dying to ask you this question because it's been so fascinating to me. What is your take on that? And I thought for sure that when he came out with his own set of clubs and they were all the same length, that that was really going to catch fire and that everybody was going to run out and get these clubs that were all the same length, because on paper and in theory, and obviously he's been able to turn it into success, it makes a lot of sense. What's your take, John?
Well, this is not a novel idea. This has been out for a while. In fact, there's a famous golfer who's deceased now. His name was Mo Norman, and he's from Canada. And Mo Norman probably was the greatest ball striker of all time. He had autism. And so obviously for him to be able to compete and play in tournaments, it was just a big handicap for him. In his later years, he used to hang out at Royal Oak Country Club in Titusville. It was owned by the Canadian PGA. And young golf professionals like myself, and we're talking whether you were just bumping around on the mini tours or whether you played on the PGA Tour, we would go over there with lawn chairs, and Mo would hit golf balls for hours and hours on end. And he had perfection. I mean, it was unbelievable. Somebody would stand out there with a baseball mitt next to a bucket and never move and just catch every ball that Mo would hit, wherever he wanted to hit it to. So Mo was a big advocate of what Bryson's playing. It's the one club kind of concept there, where everything's the same loft and you go from there. And so Bryson is actually, to me, it's like a genius. You know, Bryson, when he signed flags when he first got on the PGA Tour, in fact, when he won the U.S. Amateur, he was like Leonardo da Vinci. He would sign his name backwards. He could sign his name backwards on these flags. And so, obviously, he has brought science into the game. And he got a little cocky there for a while. I remember when he was approaching his first time to play in the Masters, he said par was 67. He's going to overpower the golf course. He had a little comeuppance on it. But, you know, Bryson is a remarkable individual in the fact that in this past year or so, he went out and competed in the National Long Drive competition and almost won it. And PGA Tour pros don't almost win the Long Drive Championship because your swing has to be totally different. But Bryson did it with training. He did it with technology. He's done it with science. So, yeah, I mean, he's a popular guy. And I think that the take on the one club is there's a company called Gray's Golf out there that actually markets and sells these things and also markets Mo's instructional videos. And so the take on it is it's not a novel idea, but it does work for some people, and especially for the average golfer. It's a wonderful concept, and it's a wonderful way to play golf. It's a different swing, and you need to make sure you're taking lessons from one of their certified instructors that knows that swing and knows that equipment.
Well, you know, I remember when I first started my radio show and I had a couple of pros on, and they were showing me videos of Mel Norman, and it was just amazing. And then the interview I heard, I didn't know that he was autistic, but he was an interesting guy. And as you said, he would, during the Canadian Open, he'd go out through the driving range and he would absolutely hold court, John.
Oh, yeah, he held court all of his life. And, you know, one of the things about it is, you know, he wasn't a wealthy man at all. And, in fact, later in life, he was destitute. He really, you know, all he knew how to do was hit a golf ball. You know, he's a wonderful man, but he's autistic. And so Titleist, Wally Uline, whose son Peter plays on the LIV Golf Tour. But anyway, aside from that, Wally Uline, CEO of Titleist, went ahead and put a pension out there until Mo died for life. From Titleist, just to make sure he had his bills paid and he was taken care of. And that's how much he thought of Mo, even though Mo never endorsed Titleist, was never a Titleist guy at all. But he wanted to make sure he preserved the game and preserved heritage and had a chance for everybody to see Mo up until he died. This fantastic swing he had and unbelievable ability to strike the golf ball.
Hey, John, I got to tell you, Perry McNally's signing autographs now. He was over there drinking with these women. I don't know if I can have him down here in this professional environment that we're trying to do a production that's heard across the world and a good portion of the West Coast and Northern Florida. We're going to have a team meeting on this. Yeah, sign
it. Make sure that autograph he signed doesn't say Brad Pitt or somebody. Make sure it's actually his own signature, yeah. And his own name.
I think he just signed that, Brad Pitt.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he did. These St. Louis girls don't know any better.
No, but listen, I'm happily married. I wasn't signing an autograph. She asked me, her daughter is living in Panama City and is about to move down to St. Pete and is looking for a job. And I said, well, give us a call at the Feather Sound Country Club and we'll see if we've got, you know, an opening for
Explorer's Bar and Grill.
Yeah, or for actually, she'd do great here. So anyway, that's what I was doing. I was just trying to do her mom a favor.
You're doing your service. Yeah. Hey, we only got a couple minutes at the top of the hour. We come back in the second hour. I know you enjoyed the conversations with Mark Egli, PGA professional up in Iowa. He knows Zach Johnson. He worked with Zach Johnson early in his career when he was at Drake University, and they're very close friends. So we'll talk to him a little bit about these, you know, the challenges that Zach's going to have in selecting this 2023 Ryder Cup. And then when we come back, a topic I really want to talk about to John Rager, you know, LIV, and our main man, Phil Mickelson, is back in the news again, and a former bookie and a gambling associate. He said that he has bet in his lifetime, Phil Mickelson, over $1 billion.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting book to read, and I can tell you that we've been anticipating this book for years and years and years, and I know that Phil is not really commenting on it, but Billy Walters is who we're talking about. He's got this book coming out, and going to be interesting reading, you know, and there's a quote in there, and I'll tell you after the hour when we come back about what that's all about.
And then speaking of Ryder Cup, we'll talk about his wager on the 2012 Ryder Cup, which is a no-no in my book. We'll be back on the Tee, Florida, for hour number two. And it's Kerry McNally, Mike Ricker down here at the 19th hole, and of course, our good man up on St. Augustine Beach, John Rager. We'll be back on the Tee, Florida.